Hello there. I am the Projectionist, and welcome to my sinister Tales of Terror. I'm so glad you have accepted my invitation to come down here to join me for a sinister tale of terror. From this very tome, a little audio treat to help you ward off the chill on a night like this. Now, if I might beg your pardon for a moment, let me just make sure we won't be interrupted. just the thing. A bit more candlelight so that we can see each other a little better. Is that chair comfortable enough for you? Good. Then let us begin with a story from my collection. One that I have come to call Don't Go Down Into the Basement. Little Anthony Baker could remember only one rule handed down by his kindly mother, Judith Baker, which was, don't go down into the basement. Every time they had meals in their little cramped but cozy kitchenette, his mother would see the young boy's eyes wander over to the scuffed-up basement door of their brownstone. Anthony, listen to me, she would say. Don't go down into the basement. Always, without fail. Anthony would nod his head in understanding, sometimes replying, yes, mommy. Though, what precocious child at that age could resist the mystery of a locked basement door? Before his father had passed away in a boating accident 2 years previous, Anthony had seen his father handling the very padlock that secured the door while working in the tool shed. To be honest, the young boy barely remembered his late father, except for how tall he seemed, as well as the strong and pleasant smell of the man's cologne mixing with the aroma of the grease and oils that stained the coveralls he wore while working at the machine shop in town. While it was true that Judith was now a single parent, something that Anthony's schoolmates sometimes teased him on, calling him a latchkey kid, the young boy understood that he was fortunate to want for very little. His mother worked hard in generally long hours as a surgical nurse, and before his father's passing. In fact, before Anthony was born, his mother and father had bought and paid for the brownstone, making extra money by renting the third story to young couples and families from time to time. Anthony was thinking about the latest boarders that had shared the brownstone with them, the Andersons. The little boy always enjoyed it so when the families that rented from his mother happened to have a child close to his own age. Jerry Anderson was almost the spitting image of Anthony, and the two rapscallions spent more than one summer evening tearing up and down the sidewalks on their bicycles, earning harsh cries and condemnations from the elderly folk on their block, laughing all the while as they took part in those glorious daytime adventures that only a 7-year-old can appreciate. Sadly for Anthony, the Andersons had moved away, without even paying the rent at that. The little boy knew this kind of behavior always upset his mother, who matter-of-factly informed her son that this was just the way the world worked. Even the nicest people could let you down from time to time. Anthony was remembering that as he sat at the kitchen at table, eating his fourth fudge and vanilla cookie. Giggles, they were called. Perhaps higher priced than others, but like the children in the commercials on TV, Anthony found he too would giggle while eating one of the delicious sugary treats. His mother was having to work another late shift. She had called him after he had arrived home from school. While she expected to be home in time for dinner, he might have to prepare some of the Chef Boyardee in the cabinet. She warmly expressed her love as always, and before hanging up, reminded her son that he was to do his homework before even thinking of watching the television or entertaining the notion of playing on the Atari. He was just about to treat himself to his fifth cookie when he noticed that the padlock on the basement door was unlocked. It hung there, practically enticing the young boy to walk over and remove it. Treating himself to not another sugary treat, but a glimpse of what was in the basement. "Don't go down into the basement," he heard his mother's words as clearly as if she were standing right next to him. Anthony ate another giggles. Grown-ups made weird rules sometimes. While at school, he was constantly being lectured by Mr. Rosenauer on why he couldn't leave his overcoat in his bin, but had to hang it up on one of the coat hooks on the wall in the classroom. This was just another one of those rules, the young boy said to himself. Perhaps his mother had moved all of his father's tools and machinery that he had kept into the tool shed down there. Anthony was able to resist the temptation and disobeying of his mother's wishes, grabbing one last cookie before heading into the living room to work on his homework. Of course, he thought to himself as he settled down on the floor, maybe just a few minutes of cartoons couldn't hurt before he got down to serious work. Besides, he would be able to hear his mother pull up the driveway, and he could switch the TV off if need be. Later, as the sun began to set, the young boy realized his mother probably was not going to be able to get home in time to prepare his dinner. So Anthony went into the kitchen. With the aid of a chair, he opened a cabinet to retrieve a can of Chef Boyardee pasta. In his heart, Anthony wished his mother could have come home and prepared some of her spaghetti. It was one of his favorite dinner choices. The Chef Boyardee would be okay, though, especially with the little pieces of hot dog in it. That, for some reason, was called Frank's. As Anthony was getting down off the chair, he heard something rather strange. It sounded like a puppy. The young boy heard it again. It was a little faint, but it indeed sounded like a puppy. It also sounded as if he was coming from the basement. Anthony had wanted a puppy for quite some time, ever since he'd attended a birthday party for his schoolmate, Darcy Kilpatrick, while everyone was enjoying the little girl's party. And the trampoline her parents had surprised her with. The young boy was more than happy sitting in their kitchen playing with her puppy, Basil. The affectionate dog had made quite the impression on the young boy, and for weeks and weeks after Darcy's party, he had begged his mother for one. Judith, however, was adamant in her refusal. She said she doubted he was old enough for the responsibility of such an animal. But perhaps when he was a little older. The thought occurred to Anthony that his birthday, why, It was only a week away. Perhaps his mother realized that an 8-year-old was old enough to have a puppy. The thoughts of having a puppy of his very own drew the young boy to the basement door. "Don't go down into the basement," he heard his mother's voice echo in his head again. But what if there was a puppy in the basement? Perhaps it got out of its cage and was scared. It might even hurt itself down there. The young boy quickly removed the padlock and slowly opened the basement door. Yes, there was the noise again. It did sound like a puppy. Anthony reached for the light switch and flipped it on. With a single bare bulb, it didn't actually illuminate very far. The puppy's whimper came again, and any fear the darkness held vanished. He needed to make sure it was okay, and it knew it could trust him. With quick steps, he made his way down the basement stairs, scrunching up his eyes as he attempted to penetrate the darkness. After a long second, the puppy whined loudly, and Anthony could smell the animal's aroma as it mixed with the dirt of the basement floor. Not very pleasant, the young boy thought to himself. He leaned down and reached a hand into the darkness where he could hear the poor puppy whimper loudly. "Anthony!" his mother yelled as she grabbed him by the scruff of his shirt from the bottom of the basement steps. Angrily and forcibly, she dragged him up the stairs, raining blows upon his head and shoulders with the flat of her open hand. The young boy was too startled to really feel any of the strikes. "How?" Whack. "Nini?" Whack. "Times?" Whack. "Have?" Whack. "I?" Whack. "Told you?" Whack. "Do not go into the basement, Anthony." Judith halted, bringing her palm down against her son's face yet again. The tears that flowed freely from his eyes had brought her to her senses. He stood there, trembling, fear etched upon his beautiful features, his face becoming so much like her late husband's, the red welts in the shape of her hand clearly visible. The woman embraced her son ever so tightly. She too began to cry with remorse at her actions. She sat Anthony in the chair he had used to climb up to the cabinets, wetting a washcloth in the sink to wipe away his tears, all the while calmly speaking to the young boy. "Mommy is so sorry she lost her temper, Anthony. It's just that it's very dangerous down there. That is why I keep telling you to not go down into the basement. It is for your own good. You must believe me," Judith said. Anthony nodded in understanding, feeling a bit of shame that he had gone against his mother's wishes. His mother, handing him a handful of giggles to eat, gently brushed his hair from his forehead, explaining that it must seem hard to understand why she hadn't let him go down into the basement. But soon, he would be old enough, and she promised when the time was right, she would show him. Judith leaned down and gently touched the unmarked side of her son's face. "Do you forgive me for getting angry, baby?" Anthony found a smile spread across his face at her usual kindness. "Yeah. Mommy, could we have some spaghetti for dinner?" This made his mother laugh, wiping away some stray tears before answering, "I think we have enough hamburger meat left over to make spaghetti with meatballs." Anthony's smile broke into a broad grin at that. Enjoying his handful of cookies, with a wisdom beyond his years, he came to terms that grown-ups just plain had weird rules. As he enjoyed the treats, he realized he didn't even need to ask why. just before his mother had gotten mad and grabbed him. Why? He had seen Jerry Anderson in their basement making those whining noises. And why Jerry now had no arms or legs. Well now, dear listeners, what did you think of that little tale, I want to begrudgingly thank my co-host from the Saturday Frights podcast for this story. One, he tells me, was told to him by a patron of the arcade he spends time at. Now, before I let you out, I mean before you have to go, I would like to let you know that if you too have a tale of fear and frights and would like for me to share it on the air, you may contact me on the Facebooks, Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. I also feel I should point out the helping hands of one Tenure 13, and of course, the Retroist. And so I hope to see you here next week at the same time for more of my sinister tales of terror. This has been a Retroist production. Goodbye.